Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you are listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, probably the best podcast in all of Texas, and probably the only one I've ever heard of. So crank it up and enjoy.
Hey, this is Bret the Hitman Hart, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio.
Hey, this is the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, taking you to the extreme.
Hi, this is Booker T, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. Now can you dig that, sucker?
From La Cocina Studios, this is the 149th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Travis.
Good fucking God. No.
I think it's Chris.
That's Chris. Chris with ice cream.
Ah.
Not just ice cream. Travis.
Yes.
What, pray tell, are you serving us tonight?
An elusive sort of bluebell. Yes.
Yes, this is mighty, mighty fine.
Mm-hmm. Cookies and cream.
You've just been upgraded to best friend status.
What about Xavier?
No, he said for me to him. I didn't see anything.
Yeah. You don't need to reciprocate. This is me.
Yeah.
Out of the goodness of my broken heart telling you that you are now best friend status.
Like Joey Mercury, I might not be CM Punk's best friend, but he's my best friend. That was so pathetic.
Please don't break my nose.
He said it's so sad too. He was like, he bought me a house and I love him, but he doesn't love me back.
He has a key.
Wait, what is this about? What did Joey Mercury do?
The CM Punk documentary, Best in the World.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Oh, God, that was so bad.
Everybody was putting over Punk and how great of a person he is, and that's when Joey Mercury said that exact quote.
Yeah.
What was worse, Mercury saying that, or The Miz actually praising Punk while Punk buried The Miz in his WrestleMania?
That one.
The stuff with Mercury is still sadder, though.
It's funny because it's true.
On both counts.
Yeah. All right. So.
If we're preoccupied on this show, it's because we're eating ice cream.
Bluebell ice cream.
Bluebell. If you're from Texas, you know what we're talking about.
Uh huh.
If you're not, I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry for you. Yeah.
If you're not, move to Texas.
Yes, the Listeria is worth it.
How did the scene in RoboCop go? It's like, oh man, why are you smoking? You know that stuff kill you, right? And then the guy tells him, shit, I'm not trying to live forever.
Chris is over here helping himself.
He's getting himself seconds over there.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Dude, in one sitting, I'm eating a whole thing of this.
Well, don't eat mine. Put the lid back on it. I put it back in the freezer. Asshole.
Achoo! You still want some?
Yes!
You really think he's the only one that's going to go for seconds?
You think if Listeria's not going to stop him, me sneezing on it?
Nah.
That's like frosting to him.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of also shows how the lack of wrestling for the week, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, show.
Yeah, this is Houston Wrestling Radio.
I know this isn't the Family Feedback starring Abel where he reviews food in his new podcast. No, we're here to talk wrestling.
No.
He's not gonna do it.
No. Not yet.
Until there's an edible microphone.
It's a one episode show.
You know,
it's a spinoff.
I know that this kind of started off as a gag, but I'm really distracted by this ice cream.
Speaking of distracted.
Alright.
Seth Rollins.
Uh-huh.
That was a very good segue, my friend. Wow.
Yeah.
He had a lot on his plate. That's official. He has a lot on his plate.
He was very.
He's still bluebell, but
he has a lot in his bowl. Basically.
Yeah, yeah. He had a pretty rough night last night on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. I'll be the first to say, good God, thank God they killed this statue storyline, because I'll already get him fed up.
No, because next week he's going to be complaining and bitching about it.
Oh, man, you're going to have to make me a new statue, Steph, and he destroyed this one. And blah, blah, blah.
It'd be funny if he carried the base plate around.
Yeah.
That would be funny. Because that kind of like fell out, you know, off the end of it. God, this is so much better than talking about wrestling right now.
Rollins, Abel, talk. That's what you like to do best.
Yes, okay, Rollins. He had to pull double duty because...
You said duty.
Yeah, because, hey, you're going to have to do it at Night of Champions, so let's get you used to it. I'm okay with that. But when the first match is against Ryback, I'm not as okay with it. But I was surprised. The match wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of enjoyed it.
There's a couple smatterings of this is awesome, but it couldn't go. It didn't get right. Very far. Yeah.
I'm willing, since it's a slow week, match of the week candidate.
Ooh, not for me.
Not for you?
No. Mm-hmm. Rollins, he did the best he could trying to get that match over, carrying Ryback.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know what's happened to Ryback lately. It's just...
Is it that he's too facey now?
Maybe.
Like a big bruising guy who's the big guy is kind of too nice. And even when he is trying to be the big guy, he really isn't the biggest guy.
Here's an example of a gimmick that went from the underground scene to the corporate machine.
Okay.
First you saw Ryback's like, what the hell's a Ryback?
Right.
And we're still asking.
Start to get to know him and his character and his finish it and the heart pumping of the arms. Now that he's starting to cut promos and it's like basic that he's a face and he's like handing his Intercontinental title to a Make-A-Wish kid, it's corporate now.
I thought that was cool. I like that.
I like the part that it's cool, but it doesn't feel organic. It feels like, oh, it's already forced. This is the next guy that in 3 years they're going to be shoving down our throats like Reigns.
Yeah.
No, they already tried that.
And it could have worked if he hadn't gotten injured.
Yeah.
And it could have worked if he actually didn't fuck up on his promo so bad. Like, did you see that? Both of you guys?
Well, I couldn't see it because he wasn't seeing me. He's looking at the corner, like, far off in the Never Never Land, instead of looking at the freaking microphone or the person that's interviewing him.
Yeah.
That's not his fault.
That's a problem across the board right now with WWE, NXT, Main Event, SmackDown, Superstars, Shotgun Saturday Night, whatever.
WWE.
Everybody's promos is like that now. They don't look at you. Hmm. Like, would you address me if I'm looking over here and talking to you?
Yeah, I would.
That's because you have glasses.
That was a visual gag. Yes. Yeah.
For the nobody that's watching on Periscope this week,
we don't have a Periscope up this week because my phone is almost dead.
One of these days, you learn how to charge it.
Yeah.
The best part of that Ryback promo was the interruption of Kevin Owens. But apparently, that wasn't the first time it happened, right, Travis?
Yes. On SmackDown, Owens was doing a backstage promo. He was actually looking at what's her face, JoJo. Is that who's interviewing him?
Sure.
I don't know. Whatever.
The one with the Andre the Giant hands?
I don't know. So, it was kind of randomly done at the very end of the promo where he said, feed me more.
Hmm.
And it was kind of like force-fed.
Was he chewing on an apple?
No.
Okay, he just said
banana?
No, there's no...
Kumquat.
There's no food involved, Chris. Oh. So I guess...
Bluebell!
Stop it. No, so that's where it started on SmackDown. Now, I didn't get to see what happened on Raw, because when I watched Raw, it was on Hulu.
Ah.
And I gotta say, this is, 3 weeks I've been watching
Raw on Hulu, yeah.
And that's pitiful.
Mm-hmm.
They take, granted it's a 3-hour show, that's, whatever, but they cut it down to an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's like half the show.
I knew there was something missing. No, but sometimes there's, I figured they would cut stuff that didn't need to be cut.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always something that we're talking about pre-show or before we record that, this happened. I was like, oh, what? It did?
A whole Diva segment first time, remember?
Yeah, there's two full matches that were cut from the Hulu edition.
And they should let the viewers vote to find out which should be cut. That way you would never have to watch the Big Show wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
You'd never have to watch Kane do the pyro.
Okay. Case in point, there was the segment this week with Orton and Sheamus.
Yeah.
And after the match, the Wyatts came out and attacked him. I told you, Chris, I was like, they're just kind of randomly attacking Orton just to get him mixed in with that whole storyline. You had to explain it to me because Hulu cut out
the thing where Orton was talking with Dean.
Yeah, I missed all that.
Yeah.
Did it at least show the promo of Wyatt's, like, warning anybody that he didn't even catch that?
Wow.
That was actually a decent promo.
Yeah, well, besides being his promo, it's storyline. Like, without that,
yeah.
I didn't know what the hell was going on in that match.
Yeah.
So why they would cut something like that, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hulu.
Yeah, well.
That was a nice little tangent we went on there.
Yeah. Yeah. What were we talking about?
Rollins fought Ryback first.
Right.
It
was a decent match. It was surprisingly decent.
Then we fast forward to the end. Main event tag match.
You know, another match that I want to throw out there for Match of the Week candidacy. Again, it's a slim pickings kind of week. But I enjoyed it, especially because of the New Day. Oh, my yeah. God. They had me in stitches the entire freaking match. More specifically, Xavier Woods had me in stitches.
The like damn trombone.
That trombone. God. You know, I think I said it last week where I was like, okay with the trombone not being a recurring thing. That way it's something different every week. But now that the trombone is back, screw what I said last week. Have him have the trombone every week.
I tried to tell you.
Yo, it was hilarious.
Not only that, I want a whole section.
Yeah.
Like I want the big fat bass.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a cymbal.
No, stick with the trombone. Triangle. Yeah. You can bust all those other missions, do it backstage or different things on the network or whatever. But just the trombone. You know,
Chris is all about the bass.
Well, we got a battle rap. We got a battle. We got a battle going on between the trombone and the kazoos backstage.
Yes. Oh, I love that.
That I did see.
Okay. Yeah. That was a good backstage segment.
Get the tables. Get the tables.
Yeah. It was fun. It was a fun segment. All around. But when it was just them and Seth, and they're trying to encourage Seth, and then Seth running away because he's been, you know, frazzled with having too much on his plate. And then Edge and Christian showing up, mark out moment, then the kazoo versus the trombone, and then, you know, Dudley showing up. Man, it was just bam, bam, bam. One right after the other. Good stuff.
Yeah, that was a really good one. And just to see Edge and Christian on the screen, on the same screen with Dudley's, mm-hmm. that was a good moment too, just by itself.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, New Day and the trombone, yeah. Not only is this a trombone, whatever, but when he's utilizing it.
Yeah.
He doesn't utilize it all the time to where it gets,
he's too busy yelling and talking smack.
Yes. One thing I did see him do on SmackDown, I don't think he did it on the match. I wasn't 100% focused on the match, but, I think it was Kofi. Biggie. He had someone in the corner turnbuckle and he was kicking him.
Yeah.
And he was doing the trombone every time he would kick him.
Along with
him. Then he tagged Kofi and Kofi kept kicking him and then Kofi would tag in Big E and they stomped a mud hole in him basically.
Yeah, but he was doing the trombone the whole
time. Did that?
Okay, yeah.
And then,
nothing beats him playing taps right when they're doing the finisher though.
Something does. The expression on Rollins' face when he realizes he's tagging with those goofs.
I really enjoyed whenever, Big E was, trying to give a suplex to Cena. And he was like holding him and then kind of doing his little grinding. Wobble shake. Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Wobble with it, wobble with it, wobble with it.
You said, Rollins' reaction. What about his reaction or non-reaction when the fan jumped the rail and saw walking down the entrance to him?
That was great.
With him.
Yeah. A fan kind of just started strutting along with,
which I missed, but Chris showed it to me.
Yeah. Started welcome. Strutting along with Rollins and just, Rollins kind of looked at him and kept going, like, all right, well, I guess this is happening. Yeah. And that was it.
Thanks for Deadspin for pulling it up on their website, since apparently Hulu didn't.
No.
I mean, if something's going to get edited, that definitely
will get edited. I can understand that one being cut, but I'm kind of surprised that Rollins didn't do anything.
I mean, it's safer that way. Like, you don't know how crazy people can be, Exhibit A. So if they're leaving you alone, just leave them the fuck alone and wait for security to handle it.
Yeah.
They handled it.
Yeah. Security was a little slow to handle it for the longest time. The referee was out there trying to, you know, touch him and hold him back without actually touching him or holding him back.
I don't want to hurt you, but I got to stop you. So just don't move and I won't touch you.
Yeah. It's like, screw you. I'm going to keep moving. Yeah. Like, stop being frustrating.
Yeah. for entertainment purposes and slim pickings, that might be my pick.
Yeah.
Even though the biggest bone I have to pick with it is that Cena was in the match too damn long.
Okay.
Prime time had little or no effect on this match at all. Maybe that could have been
Darren had almost no effect on the match.
That might have been because of the really lack of pop that the prime time got. Cena walked out, he got the love and he got the hate. Prime time came out and I could hear myself fart. So it must have been something.
You have
Baltimore.
Farts, though.
Baltimore is a very fickle crowd though. Every time they go to Baltimore, they chant boring or they don't chant nothing.
Well,
they
on the Hulu version, I counted two boring chants. I don't know what it was on the full 3-hour show. I don't know if there was more than that, but yeah, there's boring chants. One was during the Rollins promo. The other one
during the Lana promo. No, Summer Rae. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
And then the bow on top of everything was something I pointed out earlier. Sting crushing the statue.
Sting.
The vigilante. The thief. The garbage man. The Joker Sting from TNA.
Yeah. Then
the Sting from the end of WCW when he was the Crow and even towards the tail end. He was pretty much straight, cold, silent. He just got to the point whenever he started talking. There wasn't a lot of humor in it.
Yeah.
I was going to make the analogy last week, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's around to hear it. You know, Sting had some really good stuff in TNA for the time he was there.
He
not
did.
A lot of people caught that. We got a flashback of that with his humor.
I didn't catch that whenever he first told me that. And then I just watched that last little segment.
With the dumpster?
Yeah, I was like, holy crap, that is Joker Sting.
And it was, I liked it.
I know. Yeah, it helps him as a character because it does bring out personality in that character.
It's easier for him to appeal to a younger audience when he's able to play around like that.
Yeah.
So I liked it. It was funny.
So the brass, quote unquote, statue was...
The aluminum.
Yes. It was trash compacted very easily.
What was it? 2 weeks ago or last week whenever they brought the statue out the first time? Was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
When they first showed it, I was like, that looks off. It doesn't look like bronze or brass or whatever.
They should have let the paint dry another week.
Yeah.
Get some patina on there.
It looks like there was some chocolate inside the thing or something.
Yeah. Chris said patina. Congratulations.
What?
I don't know. It just seems like
it was the word on the toilet paper.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Tomorrow it's onomatopoeia.
Ooh.
Use that in a sentence.
I can't spell onomatopoeia.
Is that the sentence?
That's the sentence. Okay. That's in Merriam-Webster. Let's see. We talked about it earlier. Dudley's against the Matadors.
Eh, whatever.
I was kind of surprised to see the Dudley's win.
Really? No, you weren't. Get the hell out of here.
He got what I was doing.
Oh, what are you doing?
It's called sarcasm.
Oh!
See, he's not wearing the shirt that says, I'm a sarcastic mofo. He has two or three of them.
Yeah. I do, actually.
I was surprised that they're actually teasing dissension between the midget and the two Puerto Rican.
I don't think that was teasing. I think that was full-on split.
Dead, yeah.
Yeah, that was the only thing I really cared about at the match.
Did you really care?
Not that much.
Which is a shame, because they finally got someone to admit that they were Puerto Ricans trying to be Matadors. Was it New Day that did that on commentary?
Yeah.
No, it was Titus. He was talking about Puerto Ricans.
He'd been on their case for a while.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're just now finally.
And the last time I checked, Titus was on the Primetime. Oh, I thought he said New Day. No, it was Primetime. He was right. The Bluebell. I need more Bluebell.
No, you don't.
God damn it.
And he took your helping. So
that stuff is rationed out.
You know what? We're gonna get this part over with. Able segment. Lana, Summer, Rusev, Ziggler. You've been on this bandwagon longer than anybody. You've starting to worry about jumping off after last week. What do you think this week?
Well, let's back up to the news. What happened over the weekend?
Okay.
Lana got hurt.
Yes.
She was training to be a wrestler.
Right.
And she got hurt training.
Yeah.
She broke her wrist or sprained her wrist or something like that.
Yeah. She's out for 4 months.
Yeah. Her wrist has a boo-boo on it. Mm. I don't care. I'm done.
That's it, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Lana's out. Now it's focused back on to Rusev versus Ziggler. I'm like, I don't care.
No, it's not focused on Rusev versus Ziggler. It's focused on this soap opera bullshit, Summer Rae and Ziggler.
They showed it twice live. Did you even get to see it once on Hulu? The build-up, the little promo video they showed where it had like the novella intro with the drama sound and then building up
with a different guy doing the voiceover to make it sound like...
I was watching it, but I couldn't hear everything, so I don't know all that part.
Whatever they did to separate the Neville's comic book storyline, to make it separate for you to focus it more, that's what they did in a TV novella sense with this crap.
Oh.
And already. Yeah. And they showed that twice before Summer Rae even got out to the ring.
Really?
Yeah,
it wasn't. Ugh.
It doesn't appeal to us.
All it did was piss me off. Because it was more of what pissed me off last week, which was the way to easily, like, realistically, resolve this amongst a couple, which was check the tape. Like, I still don't get why Lana's still upset. I don't get why they're trying to make drama out of this when it's so easily identifiable. We saw it on live national television that she, Summer, snuck in. Like, it just, it pisses me off because they're trying to make a mountain out of a molehill that's not even there.
Mm-hmm. Further, if Lana's gone for 4 months, Summer walked out there and the first thing I was thinking was, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if we got a face Rusev out of this, dumping the trash out in the corner. Instead, his promo was so confusing, making him look like the victim and making Summer look like the victim and then making Lana look like the victim because she was poisoned by the skinny American and their habit. It made it even more confusing to the fact that anybody that wasn't already checked out of this, that are in it for the wrestling and not for the drama, the TMZ telenovela Univision junk, they're out now.
Yeah, look, I'm out now.
I've been out. The only time I was actually in it, I think Chris can agree with me on this one, was when it was Lana and Summer Rae going at it back. I think that felt
organic.
Yeah,
because I was still interested in maybe seeing Lana actually wrestle in a wrestling capacity at some point. Now that she's injured and she's out, and we're definitely gonna not have Lana versus Summer. Forget it.
If she can't even train, I don't want to watch her wrestle.
Yeah,
yeah. People want to shit on Eva Marie, but she didn't. Yeah, she got best of the training part.
Yeah.
So far.
Well, Eva Marie. Well, we need to get to that in the NXT talk.
That's what I missed on the NXT talk. Eva Marie. We'll get to that. Yeah. Speaking of the opposite sex.
Calm down, Eva.
Divas Redemption? You complained last week about the clock?
Yeah.
And they might have fixed it? Maybe?
Yes. Okay, so we had Sasha versus Paige in a match that actually went longer than a minute 40. That was a pretty good match. It wasn't like a barn burner or anything.
Wait,
it was
good. They had a match?
Yes.
See, at least at Abel's, we can pick what we want to fast forward.
Right, yeah.
Hulu just cuts you right at the tip and tells you, live with it,
bitch.
So congratulations, you are now Jewish, basically.
L'chaim. The match was decent. You know, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't their best.
So did it make up from last week's?
I still think it's something that you shouldn't be giving away for free on Raw without any build.
Yeah, see, it's a double-edged sword here. Because on the one side, exactly what you just said, Chris, this shouldn't be a free match. On the other side, I see that they're trying to, like, make up for what they did last week. But it feels like they're trying to make up for something last week. So it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation.
Here's the thing. I'll just play devil's advocate here for a second. When you're saying don't get away for free, normally I'd agree with that. But in the case of the women wrestlers, you have to let people know what they can do first.
True.
In this particular division.
Yeah.
If you just do a 2 minute match with a roll up victory or whatever the case may be,
Only rebuttal to that is that they're bragging about the NXT Divas so much that they're giving the impression that we as fans should already know what they can do. Then we don't need to show it on 2 minutes. We don't need to give it away on Raw.
That's my point. Is don't make it wait. Show us what you can do on Raw.
Here's the other thing about this match, though. It was for nothing.
Is it though?
Yeah, it was for nothing.
Is it though? Here's what I was thinking, because we talked about.
Don't ask me exactly.
We talked about this last week in a little bit. They moved up Charlotte's number one contendership so they can try to break the clock.
Right. Travis, that's the other thing. Next week we're gonna have Charlotte versus Nikki for the title. That way,
I saw that on SmackDown.
Yeah,
they showed it on Raw. You weren't paying attention, but
SmackDown. Charlotte came out and said she tried a petition to get the match moved up,
and she did successfully. Okay, they announced that on Raw. Okay. So on Raw, we're gonna have the match. Basically, if Charlotte wins, Nikki doesn't get her record of being the longest reigning Divas, whatever.
So assuming Raw, Charlotte loses, who's the number one contender? Well, guess what? Paige lost. Sasha didn't only outlast Paige in the minute 40. The next week, she beat her.
Yeah.
And she's a former NXT. She's the last NXT Women's Champion. Last former NXT Women's Champion. Bada boom. There's your number one contender for Night of Champions. Sasha versus Nikki.
So you think Nikki's gonna still? You think Nikki's gonna win?
Yeah, Nikki's gonna win. Nikki. They've invested too much time in this and too much attention in this whole, oh, she's gonna be the longest reigning Divas champ, to not do it, especially since they haven't even acknowledged who is the current record holder. They keep saying, I'm going to get the record, but they don't
JBL's
say...
JBL's the only one that's going... JBL is the only one that goes off the record, because he's the one that says AJ Lee has the record. He's the one, again, on Raw that said Dudleys are going to be 25-time tag team champions if they leave United Champions with the belt. He's the one going off script.
Someone else has said AJ Lee. That's been acknowledged.
Really? Because I feel like they try to downplay that part.
I think so, too.
Well, and I think they downplay it for a reason, because they want Nikki to have it and not AJ to have it.
Yeah. So you think the whole moving up the thing was just a fix from the previous timeline?
Yeah. Just so that they could say that there was a match and she won it, and that legitimizing.
What I was seeing on the promo.
Legitimizing.
There you go.
Yeah. What I was seeing on the promo was the Nikki was saying that if she wins, she's going to have a big party celebration or whatever. Yeah. Normally when that I see that, I'm thinking the heels are going to lose.
Okay.
To kind of... You know,
I don't
know. They're already gloating. They're already celebrating. They're already gloating about it. So.
That happened with Del Rio, though.
No,
remember Fiesta Del Rio after he actually won?
The bell is
after he won, though. He's not celebrating before that.
No, but he said he was going to do it, and then he won, and then we had Fiesta Del Rio.
The Bellas are setting the bar too high because they say it's going to be the biggest celebration ever on Raw. I have not forgotten Edge and Lita with the bed in the ring.
There you go.
I'm expecting somebody to make babies. So.
Well, if watch Total Divas.
Yeah, right.
Well, no, it's because that's Brie this morning, maybe. I
don't know. Somebody's going to get inseminated. I don't care who.
If I'm going to have to be that fan to jump the rail,
I'll take the sacrifice, people.
Yeah, I'll take one for the team.
Right, yeah.
I'm sure it won't look any uglier.
More like give one for the team, but yeah.
How did Edge put it? The goalie was moved out of moved out of the net. We scored.
Sex.
That was one thing you didn't mention earlier with Edge.
We'll get to the Austin podcast later.
Well, you mentioned Edge Christian before, and we just kind of referenced right there. But did y'all check out the...
I did not. Did you?
Yeah.
The way you didn't notice Sting being Joker Sting until I mentioned it, I need to pay closer attention to Dawson and Fulton from NXT, because if they are what Edge described as old school, Tully and Oli.
I was thinking the same thing.
Tully and Arn or Oli and Oli.
Yeah.
And I forget that. Oh, Stevens and the guy from AWA, the champion,
Jesus
Bockwinkel.
Christ.
Stevens and Bockwinkel. If they're old school like them, I need to pay more attention to Fulton.
Hackenschmidt.
Do you want to restart the whole thing with proper names? Okay.
No, because I'm trying to untie my tongue here. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Get off of Tinder, Chris.
I'm not on. I already scored for the night. Fuck.
Quit licking the bowl.
Well, now that you mention it. Do you have a straw?
No.
You saw the whole Edge and Christian podcast. What are the nuggets that we need to
know? It was good. I mean, it was a lot of...
I am not a nugget.
Yeah, more of that. Have you seen... anytime that Stone Cold does a podcast with friends of his, they just kind of ramble. Yeah, they just go off the cuff, and they don't really talk about anything groundbreaking or anything. Talking about what they're doing now, how they got into the business, this and that. No really good nuggets, I guess. Just
Edge and Christian doing the theme on kazoos and Steve Austin with the ukulele was fucking priceless.
The fact that they kept laughing at Austin wearing that stupid hat, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then he got pissed off and just threw that
hat. He's like, "Oh, now you're trying to get out of the barter, huh?" It's like, "Oh, so he started playing
the don't stare at me rule. The game, don't stare at me." Yeah. If you don't know what the okay, so basically someone's talking, like say I'm talking to you, Abel, and Chris, you'd come up and say, don't talk to me, or don't look at me, and I have to, and then I say, well, how long? And then you say,
5 minutes.
Well, it's like 2 seconds or 3 seconds or whatever like that, so I can't say anything until whatever the time frame
is. This sounds like a terrible game.
Because we don't have Periscope, that's why.
Okay, even then, that sounds terrible.
I'm sure it'll be released on Steve Austin's download feed of his podcast probably this Tuesday coming up. So he's got a Wade Keller coming back.
Why do that when he can just get it for $9.99 on the network?
Because this is 0.00 on iTunes.
No. When you take that, but you get $9.99, you see.
You have cards?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can be a sucker and download it for free. Yeah. Or you can pay 9 ducats and 99 cents.
Yeah. Help the stock go up.
Because our nickels had bees on them. Give me 5 bees for a quarter, you'd say. Well, anyway, I had an onion on my belt because it was the style at the time. Cesaro versus The Miz was supposed to be my match of the week pick.
But what happened?
A crappy ending that always happens on Raw.
A crappy ending that came too soon.
Wait, who what happened?
Cesaro versus The Miz. They did a...
On Raw?
Yeah.
Well, goddamn.
They did a pre-show video about The Miz and Cesaro and that, hey, why do you have a Cesaro section? You can have the Cesaro arena if you work with me. And they shook hands on it and Cesaro started crushing every bone in The Miz's hand, which was freaking funny.
See, I would like that.
And that led to a match on Raw, which was actually really good on both sides. They looked like they had chemistry going between the two. I dug it.
Until it like got cut.
Whoa!
The bridge.
What the hell's going on here?
Big Show came out.
Oh, okay.
And Cesaro was outside as well as The Miz. And Big Show was trying to lumber aggressively towards The Miz, and The Miz scampered away.
Wait, who was fighting on Raw?
Cesaro versus Miz. The Miz.
Okay,
all right.
They start fighting outside of the ring, and out comes Big Show, chasing The Miz off. Miz gets counted out.
So they're still trying to continue the feud between Miz and Big Show.
Yeah.
All right.
Even though there's no Intercontinental title in this situation. This is them two fighting.
Yes. Okay. So Cesaro is still just hanging out, selling whatever happened before Big Show showed up, and Big Show is walking away because, you know, apparently he's not fast enough to catch The Miz. And out of frustration, he just KO punched Cesaro. End of segment. Okay. Done. That was all kind of weird and awkward and forced and slow and stupid.
What did you really think about it?
I have something else that I want to bring up from that match. I mean, you said that you really liked it and you thought that Cesaro and Miz were having great chemistry. Okay, that's cool.
I'm going to completely disagree with you.
No. No. Cesaro, to me, seemed like he was being too facey.
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, I wasn't sure because I like him and I like that he's a face now, but he was just like being too much about it, you know?
I don't think it was on purpose. I think he was just going along with whatever the crowd was giving him.
Okay.
You know? Like, it wasn't him.
What was he doing?
The Miz did something where he was on top of Cesaro, and then, like, Cesaro reversed it and did, like the Roman Greco wrestling where you spin on top of a guy, like, two or three times, and then he pretended to be The Miz, like, taking off his glasses.
Yeah.
That was funny. That was
good.
Bantering against The Miz.
Miz was in the corner, and Cesaro was going to gear up to do the running Euro uppercut, and, like, he played it up to the crowd a little bit more. Mm. When you say it, it's not that egregious of things that he did. It just,
it adds up.
To me, it felt like this isn't the same Cesaro that we saw like 2 weeks ago, but maybe that's a good thing. Like, I'm undecided. Like, I figured I'd talk it over with you two.
No, what it makes me worried, actually, what you just told me.
Okay.
Like, he's playing it up. Like, he's about to do the running uppercut, like, on the outside of the ring.
Oh,
or
inside. He got JBL's hat.
That's
and
it.
He ran and did the uppercut from the outside, and then he like did a pose with the hat, and then he put it right back on JBL's desk and talked to JBL.
I just had a vision of that. The playing it up to the crowd. Was he like giving the crowd a sign or something that he's going to do it?
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of like Ryback's.
You feed me more. Yeah.
See, that worries me.
But it wasn't something. It wasn't something that you can go along with. It was just him spur of the moment doing it. It didn't look
how it all starts off, though.
It doesn't. Yeah, but that it didn't look natural to the point where I could see him doing that every week.
Okay. Well, I'll
you know,
take
like for the it. Like the swing when he grabs it and he looks around like, you want me to do it, that's natural because that's something he does.
Yeah.
But the other things that he was doing, like, I don't see him grabbing JBL's hat every week. I don't see him doing the calling of the running uppercut every week. I think he was doing that because at that point, the crowd kind of panned out for a second. And he wanted
you
to
think so?
Oh, yeah, dude. Again, that Baltimore crowd, they're known to be fickle.
Yeah.
You know, and he just wanted to make sure, hey, is there a pulse out here? And like, hey, wake up. It's me. You guys, I have sections here. I don't hear my sections. Oh, wait, and the rest of you.
There's a few.
Yeah.
Like the signs.
And the Cesaro seat.
Yeah, somebody had a sign that said Cesaro seat. Yeah. I guess he wanted him to sit there.
Ooh. That wasn't your sign?
They were in Baltimore, not Houston. So.
Or Texas. You'd drive.
No, but it was his sign to be like glittery and bedazzled and everything.
So, that was that. I mean,
what else did I miss from Raw?
We talked about it earlier. The Wyatts, Shield. 2/3 of the Shield, Orton getting beat up. You missed that part.
Something happened last week on WWE's website.
Someone caught the leak. There was a leaked image of what the Night of Champions match would be. And in the place of the silhouette was someone that one of us called.
Yeah, yeah. You jerk. It was Baron Corbin.
No.
Ugh. Reigns, Ambrose,
Corbin.
Ugh. I can't even say it. Like, are they trying to get people to hate this team?
No.
Let's get the hate off of Reigns by booing Corbin.
I don't think it'll work.
I don't know. That might not be that bad of an idea.
I don't know.
I mean, you called it, so...
I think they're going to maybe backpedal and change it to something else.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to actually happen too, but I'm not really sure. I guess we got to wait and see what happens, but if it is Baron Corbin... Man, I don't know. That just doesn't excite me.
It doesn't make sense. He's a heel in a tournament right now in NXT. Who won his match, which we'll get into here in a second. But how does that translate him over to Raw? On a face team.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like it.
It makes no sense to me.
I got nothing.
Okay.
Hopefully because it was... I don't even think that was supposed to be... Maybe that was like a test or whatever... Just to gauge. And it wasn't supposed to be published on the website. They were just maybe checking things. Yeah. And it accidentally got out for a few seconds and someone grabbed the screenshot. I'm thinking that's what it was.
Let me ask you this. What if it is Orton? You know, Orton was attacked, you know, by the Wyatts, but he wasn't necessarily put out of commission. It wasn't that brutal of an attack. It was maybe more of an attack like to take you out for a week, but not two. You know, yes, what if it does wind up being Orton?
That attack on Orton, it wasn't nothing that Reigns and Ambrose hasn't been through already with the
Braun Strowman.
That guy.
Braun Strowman.
Strowman.
Yeah.
Braun
Strowman.
Strowman.
There you go. Now say it three times.
Braun Strowman.
There you go.
Braun Strowman.
There you go.
Braun Strowman.
The quicker picker upper. There you go.
You know what? Orton, for what he is upper mid-card face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, former main event, you know, former champion, so why not put him in there?
Okay.
And I think,
but does that excite you?
No.
Okay.
In their defense, it takes a lot to excite me.
Ooh. Yeah. Where's Dalton Castle when you need him?
I'd be more okay with Orton than Baron Corbin.
Okay.
That's all for the show. There was one last thing I wanted to bring up to see what you guys thought about because we didn't even write it down. We've been talking about this off air for a couple of weeks. We already saw the trailer for the new Owen Hart documentary.
Oof-ta! Yeah.
And then I saw the interview that the Fight Network did with Bret Hart about the documentary. Did you guys catch that?
No, huh?
Martha Hart is so hell-bent on... watering down his legacy. They're not, according to Brett, they're not able to use any of his footage from Stampede. They're not allowed to show any pictures of him when he was younger, when he was a kid. The questions that they asked Brett during the interview portion for him were so watered down that he already is pessimistic about the documentary part of the DVD being any good.
Really?
Yeah.
Here's my take on the commercial or the preview for it. I saw. Was all it was guys talking about how good Owen was.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's all it's going to be is just a bunch of... We've all heard stories about, you know, his...
Him being a prankster.
Yeah, and everything, how good he was. Everybody liked him. He always smiling, had a good attitude about everything. So, if this is going to be like an hour and a half of that, I mean, I'm all for WWE actually doing something for Owen. But if it's at the the cost of a good quality documentary, where they can't do everything they want to do, why do it? I didn't know. I didn't know about that.
This is like the Marvel of wrestling documentaries. You give it to Marvel, they're gonna run with it, and they're gonna do. They're gonna go 100 on it. And if you're telling me right now that the Owen Hart documentary is at like a 40 because of the widow. We've seen good document. We've seen flawless documentaries from WWE. I have documentaries that rival movies I've seen at the theater, as far as documentaries go. And if you're gonna hamstrung it from jump,
here's my thing. I look, the whole thing with Owen was, you know, travesty. You know, it's tragic and it's terrible that it actually happened. And I can understand. Especially in that time frame, if you remember the era that we were in at the time, I can understand her begrudging attitude towards the Vince, WWF at the time.
Yeah.
But come on. Dude, I know you holding a grudge is one thing, but...
17 years?
17 years, Brett has made amends. Like, everybody with everything with the Harts in WWE is fine. Except... for her. And it's not like WWE's going to go out of their way to bury the guy. Nope. Sorry.
He's literally the one of the few guys, if any, that no one has anything negative to say about.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so why not?
Why not?
Yeah. I mean, they're going to do a good thing on this documentary, or just anything they're going to say or do with Owen, it's going to be a positive spin on everything. They're not going to do anything that's going to damage
him. I don't even think it's spin. I think it's just
honest.
No,
it's not. It's not. I shouldn't even say that. It's just truth. Yeah. So why...
make such a big deal?
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand. I'm sure we've known Vince in the history in the past to donate towards families, to different organizations, things like that. I'm sure she would have got a huge cut
if she didn't already after the wrongful death suit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
What else?
Yeah. And how can they not use certain footage? You said that they can't use footage. They own that footage.
Yeah, but I think Martha has the rights to. She has the rights to something where
someone was talking about Owen on a DVD and they showed footage of him in Stampede. They have footage of him.
Hell, I don't know, man.
You're the Bret Hart guy. You're the Hart Foundation guy. What do you think?
I really don't know what all Martha can actually do. I mean, not Martha. I said Martha. No, what was her name? Her. I don't know what power she actually has. You know, I mean, how can she control what video footage
it's
they own?
It's an intellectual property.
Yeah.
Vince has said that. I mean, that's
yeah.
over
that's,
decades.
That's his favorite go-to word. Yeah. drinking game, intellectual property, glug.
No, it's intellectual property. He owns all the footage. Now, if they were going to release something like Ultimate Destruction, Ultimate Warrior
self-destruction,
if they could release something like that, like Owen, for Owen, then yeah, I could definitely see her saying, no, you're not going to be releasing nothing like that. But
they're going to try to pay him a tribute, and then you say, no, you're not. We're trying to pay him a tribute. Yeah. Shut up. Yeah.
I want to put him in the Hall of Fame. No, you're not.
I think that's the only reason why they're pacifying to Owen's wife. Is because of that. It's like, hey.
What the hell's her name?
I thought it was Martha.
Martha.
No, yeah. Martha is. Was it Martha? Yeah. Okay, it's like, Martha. Hey, all right.
You're thinking of Diane. That's
British Bulldogs. That's Bulldogs, yeah.
It's like, hey,
yeah.
If doing it your way, if this is what it takes for us to have your okay to put Owen in the heart of in the Hall of Fame, then we'll do it this way for you so that in turn we can do this to fight, so we can celebrate him correctly our way, this way. If the DVDs would be watered down for you, then at least throw us a bone.
See, I see this as WWE trying to do right by the Harts, you know, and she's
not even letting them do it the right way.
Yeah, which is weird,
half-assed.
But then again, I mean, we're on the outside looking in. We don't really know what Martha is actually saying, what she has power to veto and not veto. Mm-hmm. We don't know exactly what's going on behind those closed doors, but. At the end of the day, when I run out and I go buy that
that DVD. I hope it's good. Because I am. I hope it's good.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it for WWE for this week?
That's it, bro.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a break. Then when we come back, we'll talk about NXT, ROH, some local indie stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hey everybody, it's the gang here from Stoppage Time with Euro and Hammer.
And we have the best fan-made Houston Dynamo podcast in history.
So check us out on iTunes and SoundCloud.
And follow us on Twitter at HNH Stoppage Time.
Future's bright.
Future's orange.
This is Jeff.
This is Aaron.
And this is Deep in the Heart of Texas podcast. If you like films that are full of blood, guts, and gore, and...
whores! If you like boobs, if you like women, you like the Scream Queens, the Scream Kings...
Movie reviews...
and toys, and collectibles...
then look no further than this horror podcast.
Check us out on Facebook, social media sites, Podbean, iTunes.
Deep in the Heart of Texas.
Bring the whores... we'll bring the funny,
and we will keep it scary.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Ivelisse Velez, a.k.a. The Huntress, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio.
All right, guys, we are back. Thank you so much for listening to our show. We very much appreciate it. What else do we got?
What is Lucha doing on our roll call today?
Lucha. Lucha's back?
Lucha Underground.
Oh, there you got my attention. When does it come back?
Well, we don't know.
Oh.
In fact, we might have some bad news about Lucha. I don't know. We might be reading too much into this. Matt Stryker sent out a tweet with the picture overlooking a bay with the little Lucha Underground logo sailing away. And he said something, and I can't remember the exact wording, but it said something along the lines of, well, it was a great ride or something like that, which seems kind of vague. We're not really sure, but speculation's been running wild, basically saying, oh my God, Matt Stryker pretty much said Lucha Underground's not coming back.
I don't know. I would hate to speculate on something like that. Because I'll be in denial if it is.
Okay.
Chris, you got anything about that?
I don't want to. No, that's too much for me to handle right now. I hope Lucha's not... the nail in the coffin's not already in. So good.
I know.
No, if Lucha ends, that'd be such a sad story because, man, they came out of literally the underground.
Yep.
And it shook up things. So good.
I know that you're going to get mad at me at this, Travis, because you got mad at me last time I said this, but this is the wrestling version of Firefly. If they're not going to come back, yeah, then you're going to have this underground fandom that is going to be rabid for wanting it to have that second season that it never got, and you're going to have people cosplaying as Drago and all kinds of crazy stuff, and we're like, who the hell is that guy supposed to be dressed up as? It's Drago from Lucha Underground, you freaking noob! Like, it's going to be
exactly... I breathe fire!
Exactly like Firefly. You know, nobody ever gets any of the references, but, you know.
I'm so surprised you know what the Firefly is.
Well, it's only because of you, kind sir.
And maybe that one episode of Pop Culture Rewind you listen to?
Yes, that one episode. Pop your culture.
God, I hope we don't talk about Lucha again until we have for certain that they're coming back, because that was horrible to the heart, man. I might not even sleep tonight.
Do you think maybe some Bluebell could cheer you up?
Oh, it better be a lot.
Well, it's too bad you already ate it all.
I'll stop at a Kroger on the way home. Ring of Honor. Travis was the only one that watched the episode this week.
Oh.
Before we get into a rapid fire segment, I want to thank somebody.
Oh.
From Ring of Honor.
You want to thank somebody?
Pull up the picture real quick. Okay. We've talked about this for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Been wanting to watch Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. Try to go on the website.
Yeah.
On our phone, on our tablet, on our PlayStation, on our computer. Nothing.
2 weeks.
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
I emailed customer service.
Oh.
Ooh.
I emailed Ring of Honor to ask, hey, what's going on?
You did it the white way.
Yeah. Huh. You're rubbing off on me.
I'm sorry.
About an hour later, I get a reply from a Mr. Larry Mercer from Ring of Honor Wrestling on West 41st Street in Baltimore, Maryland. 21211. Same zip code as Motor Week, but that's beside the point. Hi, Joseph. We thank you for this email and for bringing this to our attention. Please click on the link enclosed in this reply to learn more about the status of our weekly TV episodes. Hope this helps. Email us back regarding any further questions or concerns you may have. Best of luck to you, Larry Mercer.
Who the hell is Joseph?
I don't know.
That's my slave name, bitch. And then the email directed me to a link on the Ring of Honor website, which I've missed because I'm an asshole. Basically, they're upgrading the website, and in order to complete the upgrades, they had to take the episodes off the television because that's one of the things they're upgrading. They want to do closed captioning on the website.
Really?
Yeah, they want to do closed captioning for the airing of the episodes.
Well, our friend Max should be happy to hear that from Wrestling with Subtitles. Yeah, maybe.
Girl owes me 2 weeks of Ring of Honor. At least. But, yeah, he was quick to clear it up. I see what's going on. Hopefully it gets resolved soon so that we can go back to watching Ring of Honor. Cause my first thought was, that's how they get you. They tease you with the tip and then they tell you you gotta subscribe to a ringside membership in order to get the episode.
Yeah.
So that's why I emailed him. I was like, hey, is there an upgrade on the membership package that I don't know about? You know, I might be willing to buy it if that's all it takes, you know, but he straightened it out and he was pretty quick to do it and did it pretty easily. So thanks.
Oh, good. For a second there, I was nervous that this was going to be a bad story.
A bitch fest.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Ring of Honor used to be before we got all in and pregnant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we're coming pretty close here to Ring of Honor in San Antonio.
All-Star Extravaganza 10.
2 weekends. So,
yeah.
Or in 2 weekends.
In 2 weekends.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll have some sort of interaction the way we've had, you know, the last few times where we were able to get, you know, maybe some backstage interviews or something. We'll see what we can do. But, yeah, it's going to be pretty exciting. So anyway, Travis, on to this week's episode, since you were the only one that got to watch it.
Yes, this is the week that had the main event of Hansen versus Jay Lethal.
Nice.
Ooh, yes, the one that was taped in Philly.
Yeah.
Nice, for the TV title.
Yeah, for the TV title. And this match right here actually is my match of the week.
Really?
Ooh.
Yeah. And I've never really been that high on Hansen before in the past.
Okay.
But yeah, he held his own against Jay Lethal. There was a few spots on there. I've seen Hansen do this a couple of times where he used to do the cartwheel around to dodge out.
Yeah.
There was one spot where Hansen was outside of the ring. You know, Jay Lethal likes to do the running
suicide dive.
Yeah, like repetitive, like two or three times. He did it on the third time. He actually knocked Hansen over the guardrail into the first row. The end of the match. I'll go ahead and tell you. Throughout the match, Lethal was trying to do lethal injection. A couple times.
Yeah.
One of the last times, first of all, I do got to mention that Bobby Fish was commentary.
Nice.
Okay.
Talking about his match coming up in San Antonio, right? Mm-hmm. And Hansen was kind of droggy, whatever, and he called for lethal injection, and he actually stopped to talk trash to Bobby Fish. Hansen hits him. Hansen does lethal injection.
No way! Hansen did lethal injection.
Flip off the ropes. Into the, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He ended up, obviously he didn't win the title or anything, but he ended up, Lethal ended up winning, but, that spot right there, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So definitely if we're able to.
Did he wow the crowd?
Yeah.
He's about to wow the crowd.
And he was, wearing blue tights. Blue trunks instead of his normal ones. So.
Was he wearing blue pants?
Blue trunks.
So the next episode, the week before All-Star Extravaganza, they're going to show Lethal versus Strong in the rematch?
Yes.
Oh, I hope they fix that website issue or I can download the torrent.
No, but they were, after the match, of course, Bobby Fish got off comms and he started jawjacking with Lethal. Mm-hmm. Lethal's still talking trash to him. Kyle O'Reilly comes out.
Oh.
They're both like talking trash to Lethal. Lethal's still being Lethal, right?
Right.
And then, you know, they, of course, teased the big confrontation, and it didn't really go anywhere at that point, but it was a good exchange between Lethal, basically, versus Red Dragon.
Yeah, yeah.
So, there was another good match on the show. Caprice Coleman versus the other guy he's been feuding with.
Moose?
No. Moose was he.
Oh no, Moose was Cedric Alexander.
Cedric, that's what we
Caprice
fought.
Coleman. Oh,
Caprice Coleman versus Cedric
Alexander.
Yeah, okay.
That was a pretty good match too. There was a lot of kind of shenanigans in the match.
Yeah.
Because who's the heel in that one?
Cedric Alexander's the heel.
Okay. Cedric, he got to the turnbuckle and got out a little wrench or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like showboating to the crowd that he's got a wrench. He's about to. That's when Moose came out.
Moose!
And he actually, before that, there's some other interference on the other side.
Chick, Veda Scott?
Yeah. She actually got on the apron and, I'm sorry. I'm bad with these names. Who's the dude that's with Caprice?
I don't remember there's a dude with Caprice.
Yeah, he's a manager.
Stokely.
Stokely.
Yeah. He actually grabbed Vera Scott and like threw her on the ground.
Did she bounce off her? Well, off her.
The other end, yeah.
Oh, the other end. Oh, nice. Yeah. Very nice.
No, there's a thud.
Was there a bust?
Yeah. Not the one that you're thinking of. No, but while that was going on, that's when Moose came around and got the wrench from. So it was like I said, a lot of shenanigans.
A little bit of hot potato with the wrench.
And then after all that, after the match was over, Prince Nana came out.
Oh,
what?
He gave an envelope of money to Caprice.
Really?
Oh, one of them now.
Prince Nana.
So, yeah. So that was. It was entertaining. It was almost gonna be my match. It's a candidate for match of the week. The pick. That's my pick is the Hansen versus Lethal.
Okay.
That's a great build because they're building up to the rematch. Cedric Alexander against Moose at All-Star Extravaganza. Yeah.
You also had Cheeseburger versus Brutal Bob.
Oh, I missed that! God! Damn! Neither one of them are listed for that All-Star Extravaganza and I'm so disappointed. Hopefully for the TV taping on Saturday.
I was so kind of pissed off because
You know, if you go into like a Burger King restroom, and you turn off all the lights and you look in the mirror,
three times.
Cheeseburger will appear.
Oh, jeez. the opening match was Jay Briscoe versus Adam
Page.
Yeah, the one that's with the Decade.
Page. Adam Page.
Yeah. I was looking forward to that match, and then it started, and it was disqualification like 30 seconds later.
Well, don't worry. That's actually one of the main events for the second night of the TV taping. No disqualification or no holds barred.
That's why.
Briscoe against Page.
Yeah, because there was disqualification. Oh, and then Mark Briscoe came out afterwards. And, yeah. That's what it was. Yeah, because Colby Carino, he tried to interfere, didn't really go anywhere. And then, that's what it was. He used BJ Whitmer's cane or crutch.
Yeah.
It didn't really faze. Briscoe kind of turned around, but someone hit him with a chair. And that's what's causing disqualification. So.
Okay.
And that's when Mark Briscoe came out with like five chairs and threw them all in the ring at the same time. Oh, that was what it was. Everybody started retreating, and Mark Briscoe started. He get all the chairs and he was like lunging them, like lawn darting them out to the. He was hitting them too.
Wow.
Even the crowds would go, ooh, you can hear the crowd reaction to the chair shots on that one. But
wow.
It was an entertaining show. So.
Nice. Now I'm really looking forward to this pay per view.
Yeah.
Next week. We'll have a rundown on next week's episode. We'll preview it.
Yeah.
Well, next week, again, is the Roderick Strong versus Lethal.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, that's what happened. After Red Dragon, Strong came out. And that's when Jay Lethal retreated and went to the back.
Mm. All right. That's it for Ring of Honor.
Oh, no, it's not. You, today... We're on our little group chat, you know, where we're talking about, you know, stuff we're going to do this weekend and da, da, da.
Well, all of y'all are blowing your load on freaking NXT. Y'all are going to go dressed up as like the B-Squad.
Right.
So I figured I'd do something a little fun for me. Uh-huh. And so I'm going to go to Party City or Arnie to see if I can dress up as one of the boys.
What a Dalton Castle's boys.
Dude,
you want to get raped by either, Silas Young?
Have either of you guys seen the commercial on Ring of Honor for Dalton Castle's new shirt?
No.
YouTube it, Google it. It's a riot, dude. It's the best 30 seconds of your week. It's freaking hilarious. I think it'd be a little bit too much work to try to get the Dalton Castle wings and the whole singlet and everything, but I can go to Arnie's for $5 and get like the little fan thingy and the masquerade mask. And probably wear a Dalton Castle shirt and You know?
What about the little loincloth thing?
I'm not sure about the loincloth. However,
wanted him in a loincloth.
However,
I want him to be accurate.
However, if the photo op does arise, I will turn myself into a lawn chair.
I don't know these people.
With cup holder.
Yeah. Oh.
Where do you put the cup?
You don't want to know.
I bet Nasty tells you that a lot. Okay. NXT is last on our agenda.
All right.
Oh, a couple.
First thing that pops in your mind for NXT.
Tag teams.
Bitch.
That's what they're harping on, and I don't know, are we going to talk about the
go for it. Okay. You're leading.
My one issue.
Already.
Yeah, I do have an issue with this. I understand Dusty Rhodes, a tribute to him and this and that, for everything he's done and everything. What are they fighting for?
Pride?
That's a good point.
It's all about the respect.
Yeah, I don't think it's for anything other than kind of like with the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. All you win is the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
But they told
is the same type of thing.
They told us that you're going to get a Andre the Giant trophy or whatever.
Yeah.
This is like...
Maybe there's going to be a Dusty Rhodes trophy, Daddy. And it's going to be a lot better than the Seth Rollins statue, Daddy. But made out of the same stuff.
I don't think the tag champions are in this tournament. I would like to think the winner gets a number one contender at the tag titles. My only complaint so far is the same complaint I had with every other thing that's happened in wrestling. He's fucking dead. Can we let the dirt dry and move on?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's my only complaint. Because that's what I said as soon as the first episode after Dusty died. That's the first thing I said. It's like, man, they're going to make a hologram out of him for months, like Ted Turner, before they even realize that he's dead. Mm-hmm. Like, leave him alone. And already, the first thing on the NXT television, bam, big graphic, Dusty Rhodes, Invitational Tournament, daddy, baby. Polka dot. No. We're getting 6 weeks of this you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to get old.
On the bright side, Ciampia.
What was that? What was that?
Ciampia.
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 How did Regal pronounce it?
Ciampia.
Ciampia.
I've heard some butchers.
Gianomanapia.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
In a sentence.
Yes. Zing.
Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. Tommaso Ciampa, obviously one of our personal favorites from Ring of Honor, who's like everywhere all of a sudden, is now in NXT, the tag team classic invitation.
I knew who Ciampa was. I didn't know who...
Johnny Gargano?
I may have heard that name before, but I've never seen the guy.
Pro Wrestling Syndicate, up northeast area.
Like I said, I may have known of him, but I just never actually seen him.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they're going to be, what, this week?
They're going to be a tag
this week coming
team,
up.
But then they're fighting.
Tyler Breeze versus someone else.
Tyler Breeze versus Bullfit. Tyler Breeze and Bullfit.
Tyler Breeze and
Bullfit. Oh, that's right. Yeah, he did say that to his tag team partner.
Yeah, Bull. Yeah, which, ugh.
We have Finn Balor.
See, stuff like that on this tag team, that's my other issue I have with it.
With the tournament?
Just
that match is going to be an easy throwaway for those two to build up to a feud so that they can have a match on their own at the next takeover.
You know, hold on. I actually think I like that turning into a feud because,
between who?
Between, Prince Pretty and Bullfit.
Really?
Yes. You know why? You know why? Because he's all about like he's getting into shape and he's trying to lose weight, da da da. And Tyler Breeze is just going to straight up call him an Ugo and call him out on all of it. Like, I think that'll be good.
The other match that has that kind of potential, they're teaming Finn Balor and Samoa Joe. And that's an easy title match for the next takeover and have some kind of dissension between the two to have them lose a match.
Okay.
Actually, I was going to say something else about the Tyler.
Okay, go for it.
You said a feud between them.
Yeah.
I just thought of something else. Rock and Sock.
Ooh!
Tag team.
Would it be too soon or the right time to turn Breeze into a face with the reactions he's been getting on the road lately?
Maybe.
With Bullfit.
Man, you don't need that. He could be a tweener. He could be a tweener with the face Bull.
Yeah, Bull could be the funny one and Tyler could be the straight man.
Like Rock.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Ooh! Book it.
Okay.
Booking.com.
Right?
Booking.yeah.
Yes. So, speaking of the Ascension, they got dropped out. You called it last week. Hey, guess who returned on NXT? The Ascension. Yeah, guess what? They lost.
Yeah, that sucks.
To, who was it?
Dude, I don't even remember.
Baron Corbin and,
Rhino.
Rhino. Yeah, Corbin and Rhino. Which, okay, I think you were trying to get to this point, but I'm not sure if you got there, that you were annoyed at the fact that a lot of the teams are just thrown together, mishmash teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that goes back to, what are they fighting for? And it also goes back to, what are the teams? Like, they're not, they're showing the brackets after they're winning, but they're not showing, like, what all the teams are.
I can, if you guys got a minute, I can pull up the list. While you guys keep yapping.
That's all I got.
Yeah,
I like to bitch whenever I can. So
let's just keep yapping. All right, what else from NXT besides the tags?
Oh, that's another issue that I wanted to bring up.
See, I'm not the only one of these issues.
The crowd,
Dick,
had no idea what was going on because of what I mentioned before. This episode of NXT and the probably one or two after that was taped before TakeOver, which explains the holy pop that Neville got when he returned, which explained the holy pop and face reaction when the Ascension returned. It sounds
They would have got that anyways. All three of those guys. That has anything to do with it.
Yeah, but they had no idea that these matches were going on. Like they had no idea about the Dusty Invitational until after the matches were already taped and they were already announcing that this was going on.
Okay.
You know, a lot of this crowd looked lost for a lot of these matches because hey, we're all going to NXT to watch the tapings before TakeOver. Holy crap, Apollo Crews is going to debut on TakeOver. Wait, what is he doing in front of me right now? Who is this black guy and why should I care?
Yeah.
You know? That just bugs me. Oh, quick reminder. Apollo Crews debuted in NXT. You can debate when. It's a match.
Yeah,
it's your typical kind of build up, the guy.
Some slow build,
yeah.
Blue Pants.
Yay.
Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
I'm liking Alexa Bliss as a heel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Besides looking.
I'm glad that she got rid of the overly girly, almost like Bailey character.
Glittery stuff.
Yeah.
And came out with the remix of the Ghetto Boys. Sugar Daddy Boys. What that was. Yeah. She's coming along as a heel pretty good. Yeah. I like it.
Uh-huh.
Little bastard.
She looks so much better too as a heel. Oof.
And there's... I like them two in the ring together. They look good. Blue Pants and Bliss.
Yeah.
Speaking of the women.
All right.
Eva Marie wrestled.
Oh, yeah. Billy Faye?
Billy Kay,
yeah. Which, yeah, she was all right.
I'm liking these new girls that Eva Marie's working with.
Yeah.
Either they have a lot more skill than her and they're making her look better than Eva Marie is, or they're just making them stand out even more.
Yeah.
But I'm liking the talent right now. The secondary talent in the Divas division that NXT has now that Charlotte's gone and Paige is in.
Yeah. Some of the Divas that have been lurking around the performance center, we don't know who they are. Yeah. I like that too. However, there's a big elephant in the room when it comes to this week's, match with Eva Marie. And that is the botch of the kick out. Apparently she was supposed to go down for a two count and the ref counted 1-2 kick out, even though she never actually kicked out. And the crowd there at Full Sail really let him have it. Yeah. Rightfully so. But it's funny that this comes after last week where we were kind of like, yeah, let's give Eva Marie a chance. And I think we're kind of in the minority in the IWC where we're saying we don't mind Eva Marie. We think she's okay. We're going to let her see what she could do. But this week, oof, it is just really full on, full tilt. Everybody's saying, oh my God, she sucks. And she can't even remember when to kick out of a pin. And even I have to go, you know what? That was a really big screw up.
Two things on that.
Okay.
One, this was taped a little bit earlier, like Chris has alluded to. So this is before the Brooklyn thing and everything. So, I mean, she's still new to everything. So I'm going to cut her some slack. Secondly, yeah, it's a botch. Again, this goes back to my first point. She's still new. You're not going to... I'm still giving her the benefit of the doubt. Now, if she has botches every week and she forgets how to kick out,
Yeah.
Then, yeah, there's some issues that needs to be addressed.
I had two things to point out, too, and neither of them are what you said.
Okay.
Oh.
Number one, I think the botch is on the ref. There are certain referees that what they don't slide in when they do the count. They fall on top or on the side. So yeah. When they fall, it might sound like it's a one
count,
you know, and they're, and a lot of times it's hard when you're working with certain people to figure out who does this and who doesn't. So what should be a two count or what should be a three count?
The cadence.
And even then, it's on the referee. If she's not lifting her arm up, it's on the referee to hit three, just like the referee at the NXT show for the Divas. He hit three because he knew that was his job.
Yeah.
So it's not just Eva Marie being new in the ring. It's whoever that guy was in the referee suit also being new, because he's new to me. That's number one. Number two, good Lord, Corey sold that like $1 million. It's like,
yes, he did.
Why are they booing her? You know, she's out here wrestling for them. She's over here trying to be the best she can be, and all they can do is boo her. Between Graves selling it and whoever in production had enough common sense to not show the angle where she botched it, they did a damn good job of saving that segment.
They showed the angle.
Yeah.
They did. Like, I totally saw her just still laying flat while that two count went up.
But they didn't show the angle where both of her shoulders were down. They showed an angle where one shoulder was down and he was looking on the other side.
Okay.
They weren't directly on it. This wasn't SummerSlam where you can see Undertaker tap out. They did a better job of hiding that.
They showed it.
And even then, Graves sold it.
Yeah.
Graves made me forget about it. Because before I saw NXT, I read everyone bitching on the internet that she f***ed this up. So I was looking for it more closely as opposed to
watching.
I wasn't
looking for it because I watched it before hearing or seeing anything about it. I think I watched it this week right when it aired.
No, you didn't because we were at the Astros game.
That's right. I watched it the next day.
Yeah.
But I avoided all spoilers and stuff. So when it happened, it was fresh to me and I caught it, boom, right from jump. I'm like, oh, holy crap. Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like I want to call myself out on this because, remember when, Cameron tried to pin somebody while they were on their stomach instead of on their back? And we like gave her so much hell for that. And the IWC gave her so much hell and she never really recovered after that. Like, I kind of feel like, well, if we're going to say what's good for her,
that's different, dude. It's one thing if you don't know how to drive. It's another thing when you lock yourself out of your own car.
Okay.
You know, that's different. So Cameron,
why is it different? Like, I don't see how is it different?
Because it's blatantly, because you can edit out, you can do your best to edit out Eva not kicking out at two. You can't edit out when you're covering someone on their stomach.
All right.
You said something earlier about Corey Graves on commentary. I'm starting to dig some of the stuff he's doing as a heel. My only nitpick on that is this kind of goes out to all the commentators on NXT. I wish there was more exaggeration or enthusiasm, or just the only time they yell or anything is when they're bickering with each other.
No. That goes back to my biggest issue. How many images on last week's NXT episode did you see of Rich and Corey behind the desk? None. You know why? Because this was taped before TakeOver, so they're doing all the overdubs backstage. They're doing all the overdubs post-tape. They weren't doing it live in the arena, watching it as it happened like everyone else was. That's when you hear the enthusiasm of Rich Brennan going, my goodness! Or Corey Graves like really talking smack like he's into it because he's there watching it happen in the moment like everyone else, not post-production after the shit's already happened.
Then they need to step up and do their job. Like, you shouldn't have to be able to tell a difference.
That's production though. I don't think it's necessarily all on them. Because when they're live or when they're in the studio taping it as it's happening, it does sound a whole lot better. But that's because somebody like me, I already notice things like that. So I can already tell that they're not going to be as excited as they would be, or they wouldn't be as involved as they would be because they're not there. You didn't see a picture of Rich talking or Corey talking at all in that episode because all that was post-production. So it's going to sound late. It's going to sound like the firework already went off. That's my biggest gripe. If they're going to be taping these NXT episodes, they need to do it timely.
Why aren't they there on the recordings? Like, even though they're pre-taping them, why not have them there doing the commentator?
Yeah.
Because they're taping episodes before the pay-per-view when anything can happen. Say we tape an episode of NXT before TakeOver and for some ungodly reason, Baron Corbin is shot dead. You can't go back and re-edit all the stuff that you aired about Baron Corbin 3 weeks after television, you know, if it's already been taped. So all that stuff's done post-production. That goes back to my gripe of knowing stuff that happened before the pay-per-view even aired because I read the spoilers because they'd already happened. You know?
All I can say is...
it affects everything, and you're starting to see aspects of what it affects that you might not have noticed before I mentioned.
On the network for $9.99, there's a thing. They have the Attitude Era Raws, and I was watching a couple of them a week or two ago, and there was, you know, I'm watching it, and I'm hearing Lawler and King just going crazy back and forth and everything. And
Lawler and King? Dude, that's crazy.
He talks about himself. Oh, what did I say, Lawler? Yeah, JR. JR and King. You know what I'm saying. Jerk. But when you'll see on certain camera shots, I'll be hearing King going crazy.
Is JR talking?
No, and King's just sitting there. King's talking crazy. He's going, you know, puppies, all this other shit. And then, but you see him at the same time, and he's looking at his monitor. It's like, wait a minute, something doesn't match up here. So, you know, there's no reason why they can't be there and just, you can get your shots here and there of them and just dub them over later whenever they need to be. They don't need to redub a whole thing. Just redub bits and pieces of it. It's possible. They know what they're doing if they're professional.
If.
Good old Kevin Dunn.
Yeah.
And that's not even to say.
Fire Kevin.
Yeah. That's not even to say when they are present and they are doing live tapings. Again, the commentators, I just think they just need to have some more fire in them. Just
some more chutzpah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bitch. But that's all. That was my one little nitpick that turned into a tangent that turned into a big conversation. So let's get back on track.
Well, there ain't no track left. It's all over.
Oh,
that's
okay.
It for NXT.
Goodbye, everybody.
Okay. Well, we don't have anything else.
That's it.
Indie stuff.
Oh, yeah. Indie stuff. ROW is this weekend. This Saturday night at the Clear Lake
Speaking
Rec
of
Center.
Tapings.
Yeah.
Take the Red Bull, kids.
This is actually this is going to be their first taping for their show that'll be on Channel 39 on the WB.
Ah, 39 Gold.
Yes. So, yeah, come on out. I don't know what the card is. I mean, I'm
pretty sure they don't either.
I mean, they have a poster out there with Mysterious Q and Parviz.
That's
and,
all you need, goddammit.
Actually, yeah, with Q, yeah, he's pretty good.
Especially now that we know what he looks like.
Kinda. Well, he was in the mask on the...
In the poster?
Yeah, the poster, yeah.
Are we supposed to forget that he came out to the ring without the mask when he won the title back?
I don't know. I don't know what we're supposed to know.
Or do they fix that in post-production?
Did that episode air yet?
I don't know. Yeah.
Next month.
But we will find out whenever we show up, I suppose. So, yeah, come on down. Say hi to us, or at least me. I know I'm going. I don't know.
I might.
You might?
Yeah.
Trav?
Yeah, I might. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll be kissing babies and shaking hands. Or shaking babies and kissing hands. I don't know.
Shake whatever you want out of me, ladies.
Mm-hmm. Don't fall for it.
Hey, he's single now.
You'll need both hands.
Oh. She's got it by the root.
Oh my.
She has roots. What happens after ROW the next week?
The next week will be the big crazy weekend of NXT here in Houston.
That's all.
ROH in San Antonio Friday and Saturday, and then on Sunday Night of Champions. Yeah, so that's going to be some awesome, crazy stuff.
I got tired of thinking about that.
Oh, I know. I'm already exhausted.
I'm freaking ready. I got a Bible jacket in the apartment ready to go.
And then, I believe the weekend after that, the weekend of the 26th, is Lone Star.
Yeah!
So, yeah, nice. Candice LeRae versus Barbie Hayden. Already on the card.
Scott freaking Summers.
Yes, versus John Saxon for the Lone Star Heavyweight title.
You want to talk about old school 70s beat-em-up wrestling?
Yeah.
That's going to be your match of the year right there.
Oh,
Saxon
God.
And Summers.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's going to be awesome.
That's going to be good.
No ring will contain those.
So yeah, pretty cool. I guess we got a show. Well, we ended kind of early today, guys.
Not a lot.
I guess it kind of reflects on this week of wrestling. It was kind of ho hum.
Well, don't count your eggs before they hatch. Next week we got a fat week.
Yes.
We're going to be going over the card for Ring of Honor. We're going to be going over Night of Champions. Apparently there's going to be an episode of Raw. I don't know how that's going to happen. And we'll see what else.
Yeah. Cool.
We'll figure it out.
Oh, well,
if we need to fill another 20 minutes of us just eating ice cream on the air, we'll go get another one right now.
Yeah.
No.
All right, fine. We'll have to go get our own ice cream. So, adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
We're out of Bort license plates. I repeat, Bort license plates.
Booking dot, yeah.
Toodles.
Okay.
Oh my god! Oh my god! I forgot how good this goes in your mouth. Oh, sex! I want chocolate. I want ice cream. Good from god, dude! Now I know what you were feeling like when we were at the Astros game. It was f-ing delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm gonna try to watch the F-bombs too. But god, Travis, what else had to get me off?
That's why you keep me around, my friend.
Yeah. Well, in your fault, you made me the hoe behind your wife and Xavier. You know I should be higher up the ranking.
Yeah.
At least higher than Xavier.
Jealous little video right here.
See, I have to go there.
Hey, yeah. I don't mind expressing myself, okay?
Uh-huh.
Do you?
I don't know.
Because you've had a hard time introing this show this week.
Yeah, if you'd shut the f*** up, I
well,
can do it.
Hurry up, stop staring at me and let me eat my ice cream in peace, motherfucker. Go.
From La Cocina Studios, this is 149th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is a...
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.